The big story out of Africa this week is not about war, politics, or famine. At the moment, much of Africa is focused on what is often referred to as the beautiful game, or what we here in the United States call soccer. For more, let's turn to NPR's Farai Chidea. Farai?
Thanks, Ed. You know, we have our Super Bowl, but there's the Africa Cup of Nations, many, many, many more times the drama in many senses. It's an international tournament that kicked off in Cairo, Egypt, and so far the continent has seen major victories by Egypt and the Ivory Coast and a stunning loss by South Africa. That is not making folks at the bottom of the continent happy. And NPR correspondent Charlene Hunter-Galt says that's not going over very well in Johannesburg, where she is right now. She joins us for the latest Africa update. Welcome, Charlene.
Thanks, Farai.
So, soccer, football, it's a fanatical thing for people in the rest of the world.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is not a great moment for a team that was once king of soccer. They, you know, they won the World Cup in 1996 with Mandela there cheering them on, and they were called then the king of soccer. Now they're being called the continent's poor men. The Africa Cup is the mother of all African tournaments. And as you say, Africans are totally obsessed with football, as they call it here. If this is the mother of all tournaments, Bafana Bafana is virtually motherless. They came home and South Africans at all levels were slamming their poor performance. Some were even calling it unpatriotic. Even the president, Thabo Mbeki, lashed out in a public address saying that the team didn't understand what the youth of 1976 had set in motion, what they had achieved. Now, as you remember, these were the protests that ultimately people feel planted the seeds for the end of apartheid. The young people in Soweto rejected being taught in Afrikaans what the apartheid government was imposing on them. So they began to demonstrate. And this demonstration turned into a demonstration of thousands and thousands and thousands. And for the president to say that these guys who played in this game didn't understand this, I mean, this was hard. So this team is going to have to think, and the coach, whose days may be numbered, long and hard about how they become patriotic, because people are even saying this is unpatriotic for them to go and perform as they did. They don't think that the team took this seriously.
Wow, that is very harsh. Well, let's move on to a much more positive note for South Africa. Oscar nominations. What's going on there?
Well, South Africa is just ecstatic. I mean, as upset as they were about Bafana Bafana, they are ecstatic because this year they have two films being nominated for Oscars. One is called Tsotsi, which is a South African slang for thug or hoodlum, and it's a story of a violent criminal who finds redemption after he inadvertently abducts a baby who was in the back of a car that he hijacks. And then there's a second film called The Death of Kevin Carter, Casualty of the Bang Bang Club. Now, the Bang Bang Club was a bunch of hotshot, fabulous photographers here in the country who chronicled apartheid and all the trouble that went on that ultimately ended apartheid. And this film, it was done by an American director, but it chronicles the life of a Pulitzer Prize-winning local photojournalist who eventually took his own life. It's only 27 minutes. So South Africans were laughing and shouting, and South Africans are just on top of the moon about this.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we can't get away from politics altogether. We want to talk about the Ivory Coast. That country's president has refused to abide by a top-level African Union requirement to dissolve parliament. Explain what happened.
Okay, let me just give you a little bit of background. You know, African mediators have been trying to end the turmoil in the Ivory Coast that's been going on since 2002. The conflict split into a government south and a rebel-held north. So some 11,000 UN peacekeepers have been in there trying to keep the peace, but it just isn't holding. A peace accord that called for elections last year didn't come off. So the UN Security Council gave until October of this year, 2006, to pick a new head of state, new elections, but they didn't address the issue of parliament. So President Thabo Mbeki and Nigeria's Olusegun Obasanjo were part of an international group of mediators who recommended dissolving the parliament, which is under the control of the president, to clear the deck before these elections, and he's refused to do it. So the fragility in, you know, one of the continent's critical countries is still there.
So is the UN planning on getting involved in the Ivory Coast?
Absolutely. I mean, UN Secretary General Kofi Annan was very unhappy with this Gbagbo move of refusing to dissolve the parliament. And as you know, the UN is contemplating sanctions against the Ivory Coast. So this moves them one step farther away from not having sanctions imposed, this action on the part of the president.
Well, let's move on. Coretta Scott King, how are people in South Africa reacting to her passing?
Well, of course, I have to say, you know, I walked in the footsteps of Coretta Scott King and Martin Luther King when I desegregated the University of Georgia, and they paved the way and made my journey a whole lot easier because of their spiritual leadership and their own courage. And I think that has resonance all over the world. Here in South Africa, the president has sent condolences. And on the radio, the day she passed on, there were programs devoted to her legacy. And South Africans and Americans have a unique partnership or unique relationship in that they both were involved in issues involving black and white. So when, in effect, the mother of the American Civil Rights Revolution passed on, many thought in terms of Winnie Mandela, who was the mother of this revolution, and how both women carried on struggles. Winnie Mandela, when her husband was in prison for 27 years, she kept his name alive. She kept the movement alive. And there was Coretta Scott King, who, after her husband passed on, did not do any slow walking and sad talking. She stayed out there keeping the banner of civil rights and freedom and justice alive.
Charlene Hunter-Gault is NPR's special Africa correspondent and a regular News and Notes contributor. Thanks, Charlene.
Thank you again, Farai.
That was NPR's Farai Chidea.